around and felt powdery granules, finer than sand, all around her. She was in the central dustbin, the detritus dump of the anthill. Though the motes irritated her nose and eyes, they had cushioned her fall and probably saved her life. Far away, she saw a tiny white spark of light. She headed for it, both arms extended, so she could touch any hidden obstacles. It was the Penflash, lying half buried in the acres of dust. Gratefully, Mildred picked it up and fanned the light around. As she had expected, she saw nothing but gloom and dust. She continued, sifting her way through the powder toward the air current. She walked only for a short time before she felt the flow of air growing stronger. She stopped right before she walked into a black metal wall. By shining the penlight around and groping with her free hand, she found a metal bracket in a flattened U-shape, like a ladder rung. There were several more leading up the face of the wall, beyond the illumination range of her light. Mildred swung onto the rungs and began to climb, ignoring the fires of pain the effort ignited all over her body. She climbed less than 20 feet before the rungs ended at a narrow ledge, maybe 2 feet wide. She stepped out onto it, flattening her back against the wall, digging the fingers of her free hand into the uneven metal surface. The ledge made a sharp turn to the left after a few dozen steps, and its pitch descended steeply.
Oh, damn!
Oh. Putting the Penflash into her mouth, she crab-walked along the ledge, her hands gripping the wall tightly. The ledge suddenly widened, opened, and led out to a metal-railed apron, and she realized with a leap of relief that she had been traversing some sort of maintenance walkway. There was still no sign of anything approximating a door. As she pushed against a wall, something brushed the top of her head. Craning her neck to look up, she saw a length of heavy, rust-flaked chain with a handle attached. She couldn't see what it was anchored to, but she grabbed the handle and tugged gingerly. Nothing happened, so using both hands, she pulled harder, putting all her weight into it. Feeble light suddenly appeared, a thread-thin outline tracing a tall rectangular shape in the wall before her. Hand over hand, she continued to pull the chain. Blinking through the rust flakes swirling around her face, Mildred saw the slab was like the drawbridge of a medieval castle, only this one was made of thick sheets of welded and riveted iron. The slab stopped moving, jamming at a 45-degree angle. No amount of pulling, hauling, or hanging on the chain would budge it further. The surface of the slab was by no means smooth or featureless, so Mildred half-crawled, half-climbed up it. Judging by the oxidized streaks, she was pretty sure it was a very old access way, a maintenance hatch to the detritus dump. It probably hadn't been opened in nigh onto a century, perhaps considerably longer. She struggled to the lip of the slab, grasping the edge and carefully pulling herself to eye level to get a quick reck of her surroundings. There was very little to see. Mildred looked out into a small enclosed space, not much more than a module with convex curved walls. It was bare, everything coated with a thin patina of dust that had seeped out of the dump over the decades. So much dust floated in the still air that the light from a ceiling fixture was only a faint yellow blob. A spiral staircase stretched up from the floor to a dark opening. The small room appeared to have been unoccupied for a long, long time. Mildred pulled herself up and over. Dust puffed up from beneath her boots. The air felt close to normal temperature. That would explain why the module appeared to be in disuse. The cryonically altered people of the anthill would find it very uncomfortable. At the foot of the staircase, Mildred peered upward. She saw nothing but a dim light, so she went up the steps. The staircase curved up and around, like a corkscrew. There was a faint luminosity above, and it grew brighter the farther up the staircase she climbed. She was pleasantly surprised when the last step brought her to a door with an ordinary, standard-issue, commonplace doorknob.
Here we go.
She opened the door wide enough to enter a corridor. The walls were white and dingy and not composed of the vanadium alloy. The floor looked like dirty linoleum with a black and white checked pattern. This level was obviously part of the original floor plan, constructed well before Skydark. Though the air was crisp, with a hint of a chill, it wasn't the Arctic atmosphere of the upper levels. There was a sign on the wall, written in faded red letters.
Know your emergency exits.
An arrow pointed to Mildred's right, so she followed it. The corridor curved toward a distant set of double doors that looked like an elevator stand, so she quickened her pace. At the sound, Mildred whirled to her right. A very tall, naked figure stood framed in a doorway. She couldn't tell the sex of the figure, and her heart gave a great lurch. The body was gaunt and stripped of all fatty tissue. The texture of the pale skin suggested a pattern of scales, as if the figure had been spawned under conditions that were abnormal, even inhuman. In fact, there was almost nothing human at all about the head above the tendon-wrapped neck. A coxcomb of thin blue-black hair twisted up from a low, sloping forehead. Eyes that were huge, red, pupilless discs blazed out of a narrow-chinned face. The nose barely qualified as a sharpened nair, and the lipless lid of the mouth gaped open, revealing spittle-wet, toothless gums. Mildred immediately had the bore of her ZKR trained on the low forehead.
Took you long enough, didn't it? Where's my goddamn brains?
What?
The lean, scaled figure before her capered impatiently, shifting from one foot to the other.
My brains. You were supposed to bring me my brains.
I don't have your brains. Don't you have any of your own?
If I did, I wouldn't be waiting for you to bring them to me now, would I?
Logical answer. What kind of brains do you need?
One of the bony shoulders heaved in a half shrug.
Oh, yours will do. Yes, as a matter of fact, a woman's brain is preferable. It will balance out my own.
What would you do if I did give it to you?
Pop it out, of course. Cook it over the fire in its own blood and juices. Then eat it.
Mildred, staring at the gaunt, scaled, sexless creature, felt clammy sweat bead her forehead.
Why?
Like I said, to balance me out. I'm leaning too far in the direction of a single gender.
Not as far as I can see.
Watch.
Parts of the scaled body stirred and shifted, muscles crawling and sliding beneath the scaled flesh. The muscles in the creature's arms and thighs thickened, and a fleshy pseudopod at the groin suddenly sprouted, like the bud of a flower. A testicle sac swelled beneath it. Mildred stared, spellbound.
Aha! Very impressive. Do you have a name?
Let me think. I was called Uni since I was part of that program. That's not my real name, though. I can't remember what it was. Is.
What program were you a part of, Uni?
The Unisex program, of course. You really aren't very bright, are you? Maybe I shouldn't eat your brain after all.
That's an excellent idea. Now, what was the purpose of the Unisex program?
To be fruitful and multiply.
How many of you are there?
Just me now. Listen, I think I'll go back to my median non-state. It takes a lot of effort to maintain one gender without the proper nutritional values.
Oh, well, don't let me stop you.
Though genetic engineering wasn't her field, Mildred possessed more than a layman's knowledge and could theorize about the process that had produced Uni. A developing embryo had been tampered with to artificially induce a bizarre form of consciously controlled hermaphroditism. She could only guess at the purpose behind the experimentation. Since she had seen no females in the anthill, it was probable that the unisex program was designed to provide the complex with a stable population of organ donors. Uni and a few others like Uni could mate, give birth, switch genders, mate, and give birth again. Only a few of the hermaphrodites would be needed to guarantee a controlled supply of offspring. However, she was pretty sure the program was a failure, that the Unis had been sterile in both genders. As it was, Uni's very existence was impressive. The anthill geneticists had apparently invented a new biochemical coding system to substitute for DNA. As interesting as Uni and its history was, Mildred couldn't afford to spend any more time with it. She had to find her way back to the upper levels and reestablish contact with Ryan.
Well, I have to be on my way, Uni. Nice meeting you.
You have to go so soon? I haven't talked to anyone in a long time. Feels like years. Maybe it has been years.
It shuffled toward her.
Stay back now.
Uni followed her as she walked backward. She didn't want to shoot the lonely monstrosity, but she couldn't devote her attention to what lay ahead of her if